This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 27th of July, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And let me start the show by giving you our call-in numbers. Remember, you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Remember, you can listen on TV, on cable, Bahamas, channel 969, or Flow channel 612. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. And you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Well, good morning on this good Tuesday, the 27th of July, 2021. I got a little housekeeping for you before I introduce my guest for the day, who's Mr. Carlisle Bethel, and we're talking about crowdsourcing and crowdfunding. The new regulations that have just opened up and the opportunities for Bahamian investors and Bahamian entrepreneurs like me. See, I have 10 million sea grape I need to invest, and I'm hoping this young man could help me figure out a plan. But before we get there, just a little housekeeping. I've got some, let's start, I guess, with the saddest of news. I want to say condolences to the family and friends of Mr. Kareem C. Hanna. Condolences to the classes of 1991 and 1992 at Queens College. As class of 92, Kareem was class of 91. I's a Green, and Kareem is a Hanna. And I didn't know that I was a Hanna. Like, I didn't know I was a part of the Hanna Tynes, and Kareem was my cousin till I was grown. But I should have known, you know, because this guy was a cool guy. He always treated me like I his family, like I his cuz from around the corner. Even at the time when by them was teasing and beating up little gals, them like me, right, in high school. But I didn't know Kareem that well, right? Schoolmates, people say schoolmates, played a lot of sports, hung out with the guys and played a lot of sports. But Kareem was always a wonderful guy. And when people say gentleman, right, when they use that descriptor gentleman, Kareem Hanna is a perfect example of what they mean. Anyway, Kareem will be missed by friends and family alike, classmates as well. The whole QC family is going to miss Mr. Kareem C. Hanna. Absolutely. Bang, bang, bang. Absolutely.
Head boy 2011.
What? 2011. I was deputy head girl 1992. Look at that. I mean, old people, but still good people. That's awesome. And so let's switch to a bit of a happier note. I want to say happy birthday to a couple of people. There's a bunch of people. I can't get to them all. I got some friends in Belize. But I want to say happy birthday to Avi Higgs and to Gravette Brown, another QC Comet. Happy birthday, Gravette. I had a memory pop up on my wall today of me and pigtails and about 25 other little chirons, like real little chirons, right, and pigtails. And so I had to say happy birthday to Gravette and to a couple of other people on my timeline. The list is just so, so long. But I have to say, happy birthday to Billy Roberts, the billiest goat in Abaco. Billy Roberts is a Hurricane Dorian survivor. He and his wife have been pressing on, yeah. pressing through. It's a few medical issues to deal with, but right. how strong these Abaco people are, right. right? And I hope that Billy is having the best birthday ever because he commits himself to supporting his family right. and in particular to supporting his wife, right? So I say, happy birthday, Billy. Happy birthday, Billy. A couple more things. I think tomorrow I'm going to talk about more about the COVID restrictions, new COVID restrictions. I'm going to have a discussion about what the restrictions are and why the restrictions. Because you have to really understand why the restrictions to understand how to follow the restrictions. That's a big part of it. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the quick and sudden closure of camps and restrictions on campaigning. And I want to ask if we need to send Roy Seligman to this unit because maybe y'all couldn't spell camp and campaigning and y'all mixed them up. Please don't shut down the parents' pipeline.
Yeah.
This summer, please give them hope. Yeah. You know, listen, you know what it is. You thought it was just children who were experiencing a tumultuous upturn, right, in mm-hmm. their lives. Mm-hmm. Everything's topsy-turvy. Mm-hmm. It ain't just the children. Mm-hmm. These parents out here suffering without summer school.
But you know, these are some of the side effects of COVID that we don't often consider,
yeah.
right? And so oftentimes, you know, when we have the discussion, even with the vaccine, people say, well, I ain't taking it because I ain't taking it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, for people who, every time you run into someone who says they're not taking it or they think it's a hoax or they think it's fake, they put a delay on other people's lives. They put a delay on children who need to get back to school and families that need assistance. It makes life, this yeah. difficult time, extended.
Yeah. And so this is why it's important to talk to people mm-hmm. about the why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because people connect to things that are relevant to them and in their lives.
Precisely.
So in the explanation of the why, the more things that they hear that connect to them, that are relevant to them, the more connected to the discussion they're going to be.
Amen.
And that's how we sort of lost a couple of people.
That's right.
I want to say good morning to Lloyd, delivery driver, chauffeur number one. Good morning, Lloyd, and I hope you are having a wonderful day. And on that same note, I want to say good morning to whoever is parking their cars on the sidewalk by Bay Street Medical. Good morning to you. Please, go to the point and tell them you need some of that free parking they have over there. This is ridiculous, man. This is ridiculous. We really need to pay attention to these pedestrian heavy areas to ensure that they can move safely. And if, you know, me talking about it, highlighting it all the time is insufficient, let the fact that there's a significant increase in tourist traffic walking through the area, let us keep them safe, especially when we know that our hospital services and emergency services are limited. So let's focus on preventing the risk, removing the risk entirely, right? I think that's a good thing to do. Last thing before we get going, I have a note about Simone Biles in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I heard. I heard that Simone Biles is doing her thing, performing at an extremely high level,
mm-hmm.
marks above, right, miles above her competitors. And I heard that the Olympic Committee made a decision, and they decided not to give points for her routines beyond a certain level of difficulty,
mm-hmm.
even if the routine actually hits that
mm-hmm.
level of difficulty, because they're worried about the other athletes hurting themselves
trying
to compete with her.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. I was about to say that I couldn't fly in the Bahamas, and I remember we have social promotion as both a government policy and a cultural policy, so maybe I can't use that example. But what I will say is this. This doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
this is just ridiculous. The whole point of competing mm-hmm. is to display or to show your skill set, and so that a body could measure it, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. determine who is the best. Mm-hmm. Why would you tell me we have found the person who is the best?
And limit them.
But that's very problematic. So what we're going to do is we're going to moderate her score so the other people don't hurt themselves trying to do what she could do. But here's how you fix. Now, this is relevant to the Bahamas. Here's what we would say in the Bahamas. You know you can't do that, right? You know you can't spin on your head like that girl. You're going to break your neck. Don't even try it. In fact, the referee will give you, will take points away from you for trying it.
For trying it, right.
That's right. Let me be the Olympic judge.
Right.
From I see you kick your leg back out like Michael Jackson, you're going to do something fancy. I penalizing you.
Right.
Miss, you know you ain't that good. Stop now.
Right.
Why would they? Anyway, it's just a introspection, right? Like, I don't really want to get into it now,
right.
But I wanted to point it out. I want people to sort of look at it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people are saying it's about race. And to be honest with you, I think it's a bit about race, but at a much deeper level, right? At a much deeper level. But how are you going to, at the Olympics, tell somebody, you are so good, we cannot actually show you, like, we can't award you for how good you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you being so good is a danger to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in school and the guys, bigger guys, were playing basketball and the younger guys wanted to play basketball, especially the girls,
mm-hmm.
the guys would say, well, look, you know, I don't know if you're ready for this court. I don't know if you're ready for this
mm-hmm.
game.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wasn't feeling them. I wasn't into them. I could play ball. So I tried. Mm-hmm. Now, as an older woman playing basketball, say Malcolm Park, at Arm Bailey Gym,
mm-hmm.
the basketball players expressed it slightly differently, right? They mm-hmm. said, look, we are, some of us are professional local players, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We're the top class. But all of us work. All of us have other
mm-hmm.
jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot injure ourselves
mm-hmm.
on this court because we have other things to do. So we don't just play with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We only want to play with disciplined players, people who can control their body, who are not throwing their weight about and mm-hmm. flopping about because they don't have the core muscle control
mm-hmm.
or body control.
Mm-hmm.
Say, we don't play with people with long nails. Ain't nobody trying to get scrape up
mm-hmm.
or stab up. You have to take this thing seriously when you come out here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to consider how you may possibly injure, how you may negatively mm-hmm. impact somebody mm-hmm. else's life out
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And I don't understand why that same principle isn't applied. Like, if you know you have not reached this level of competition, sit on the side.
On the side, right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. I think when you get into that level of of policing and regulation, then it leaves it to be too subjective to the people's own personal opinions. I mean, if you're going to put some rules out there, put it out there.
Yeah.
But it's a competition. People are going to bring their own routine. And if she's able to pull off a routine that no one else can pull off, then give it a go.
Right.
give it a go, and let's call it that.
Absolutely.
And we're moving on from that. That's that. That's
and you know what I realize that's an interesting perspective, right? Like regulations and policies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you focus on those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that way you minimize the subjectiveness
mm-hmm.
of it.
Precisely.
Right.
Precisely.
This is awesome. Leads us right into our conversation.
Right into it. Right into it.
Let's take these two calls.
Okay.
I got a couple of texts. And then we'll go to a break
uh-huh.
and we'll get into it. Good morning, yes. caller. You are on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it may have been left over. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I am great. I didn't hear from you last week because I was basically busy and, you know, something happened to one of my family members. But unfortunately, it happened. But
yeah.
Good morning to you and to your guest.
Good morning.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
I have a friend, you know, I don't mean to change your paradigm shifting it, your conversation. I have a friend that's she's a sister to PMH, right?
Uh-huh.
And she asked me last night to please call you a Vaughn and let the people know that they need help. She you know it almost made me cry, Miss Green, when she said that last week she went to make her rounds right? Because she was in charge of the whole entire the hospital that day.
Uh-huh.
And she saw a lady that she knew, right? And by the time she came back to hail her that she's going to see her tomorrow, the lady passes away.
Wow.
She says that the nurses do not are overworked, right?
Okay.
They don't have, they're short of beds. She said she wants to call a talk show because, you know, it's the simple fact in this brain, some of these people who work for government, they don't want to call because they don't want their voices and whatever.
And it's
to be
general
recognized.
It's general orders, right?
There's
a procedure
but
for it.
You know something? I am being realistic and being serious with you this morning.
Yeah.
Every attention in this country, I missed the battle. Listen to me, sir. With the greatest respect to you, every attention in this country should be put right now to public health, Ms. Green.
I got you.
We in a crisis.
Now, do it. Let me ask you some quick questions, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Now,
yes, ma'am.
When she says help, is she saying, look, we need retired nurses, we need private nurses to volunteer?
What she said to me is that a lot of nurses, who they send home, and then in some cases, some of the nurses then going to Canada. Some of the doctors going away.
Okay,
right?
I see what you're saying.
You take the people and you put them on the side, now you find yourself in a crisis.
I got you.
And,
now, do it.
No joke.
I got you. No.
Joke.
I know it's not a joke. I can talk more about this tomorrow on my show. I got like an open, God's willing, I got an open line show. But just quickly, so basically what she's saying is that they need...
They're short of staff.
Staff. So,
they don't have no bed.
Right, okay, so...
And then I can leave this with you. She said that one time ago, I think it was a couple of months ago, the Minister of Health said, but... She said they don't even have people. They two people got to use one oxygen tank.
Okay,
every
I got
10
you.
Minutes.
Thank you, DeWitt. I know. It's not a joke. And nobody's taking it for a joke. I got limited time and a specific conversation, but it's a point to make, and I'm going to follow up on it tomorrow. And so, what are the things that ordinary citizens can give, donate, provide to the hospital, to PMH, to PHA? To support the gaps that exist right now? Is it possible for retired nurses and private nurses and part-time nurses to just come to PHA, identify themselves, and step in to fill gaps? What about beds, right? How do we identify where beds are and where they can be used, right? I mean, and how they can be moved, and can they be used in the hospital? And what other types of resources are necessary? So here's the first thing. Don't assume that the people know what you need. Create a list. Broadcast that list everywhere. Oxygen tanks, PPE, right? Are you saying that, hey, the staff is overwhelmed. People need books. People need, you know, we need a TV in the room to keep people's attention. Just let us know what is needed, right? Mind you, that's even difficult to say because is there a structured mechanism to receive this information? Well, I'm hoping that Civil Society Bahamas, right, which is like an umbrella organization for civil society organizations, can rally up the troops within its body, right, to identify the organizations that may be able to donate. And thus people could direct their requests to those organizations, right? It takes real infrastructure and structure to get these things going. It's not just the idea and the people willing to work. You need to create a sustainable and coherent, right? Easily understandable system for people to plug themselves into. People are willing to volunteer, but they can't volunteer to create your structure and then assess it and tell you how best to work it and then plug themselves into it, right? You got to give the people who want to help some help. Let's get to the text. Good morning, Two Straight. Boy, look here. If I could get Two Straight mango season like this season, I'd be happy. Wow, another text. Wow, that's like giving everyone a head start in the 100 meters race and telling Usain Bolt to start further back just to make the race fair. It sort of feels like that. It does. Another text. Good morning. The Olympic Committee seems prejudiced. Why didn't they limit how many medals Michael Phelps, a white man, could receive? I think we are so great they don't want to hear. We want her to clean up with the medals. What could have Save PMH is the building of an isolation hospital. Don't need full service, just respiratory and beds. The $20 million spent on sidewalks, etc., would have paid for it. So, two things. They didn't spend a whole $20 million on sidewalks. They didn't. And you know why? Because y'all refuse to use the sidewalks for the proper purpose anyway. I'm looking at you, medical facility on Bay Street. Also, I'm looking at the people who park their cars on the sidewalk, forgetting that people who use wheelchairs and use mobility devices need a clear sidewalk so that they could access the road like regular people, because they are regular people. Another text. The president of the nurses is... I'm not going to read that, sir. This text is very upset and not happy with the president of the nurses union. Get your members vaccinated, then the problems in healthcare go away. Basic logics. Okay, I want to talk about that more tomorrow, but I will tell you this. There's an interesting article in The Guardian on the bottom half of the main page called Mandatory Vaccine for Health Workers Would Be Unethical Stretch. Take a look at words from the former Minister of Health, right? Just delving into the complexity of the discussion, right? And a touch of the legality of the discussion when it comes to mandatory vaccinations. We could talk a bit more about that tomorrow. I see we got one more text on the line now. Let me make this clear, guys. I invited Mr. Carlisle Bethel here today to talk about crowdsourcing and crowdfunding regulations. Mr. Carlisle Bethel is an investment advisor, and he is the co-host of a financial podcast called Dollars and Cents. Now, here's how I got connected to Mr. Bethel. I know a young man by the name of Jay Johnson. He is in an improv comedy troupe with myself. So when I saw the crowdsourcing regulations and the story pop up, I reach out to Jay Johnson because he's a part of this podcast.
He's a co-host as well.
Right.
Good man.
Right. And so we crack jokes together in the spot. I said, well, look here. I don't really understand the crowdsourcing regulations because I thought it would be more like GoFundMe. I said, so let me get somebody in with a bit of expertise to give me a better sense of this thing. So it went from Jay Johnson to the spot to the orange economy, right? And part of it, the reason why I thought of Jay as well, is because I was thinking, how do we create infrastructure for the orange, for members of the orange economy or players in the orange economy? How do we help them or create infrastructure to attract sustainable investment, right? For us creatives to be a part, to sustain ourselves as we participate in the orange economy. So I said to myself, will crowdfunding, is this going to be a thing, a mechanism that the creatives can use?
It can.
Right. So that's how we made the segue. And we're going to get into it right. Well, I said we can go to a caller. I said all of that to say, I did not invite Mr. Bethel on the show today to talk politics. I invited him to talk money.
So another show. We could do another show.
Don't watch nothing. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green and your guest.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. First of all, first, you all owe me $6.
No, he didn't tell me that. Listen, I'm with the investment man. I can get you $6. Don't watch that.
But listen, I have to respectfully disagree with something he said earlier. I don't know if he's thinking about what he said, but I was trying to respectfully disagree. He said something about that unvaccinated person got to be careful because of the children and this and that and other persons and stuff like that. But what's the difference if I am unvaccinated and a child or somebody else gets the COVID virus from me, or I am vaccinated and somebody else gets it from me? What's the difference? Because both persons can spread COVID. I respectfully disagree with his comment. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. And look, I appreciate the point. We're going to delve into that tomorrow, right? The key is that we all represent a risk to one another if we continue to move through the world without practicing mindfulness and spatial awareness and the empathy necessary to understand how much space we should take up in the world at one time. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. One more text, and then we go into our break. Morning, Miss Green. I had to take a family to member to PMH. I could only cry to see how my people suffering. Ask your guests where. Okay, where does the government go from here? My guest is not here to tell you where the government goes from here. Listen, here's where we go from here. We need to start investing in the things that are of value to us. Mm-hmm. And if ensuring that our loved ones don't have access to the best, most affordable health care available isn't valuable to us, then what are we doing? We ain't doing nothing with sense. Anyway, time to go to that break. When we get back, I'm going to figure out what to do with my 1 million sea grapes, how to invest them and change the world. You're listening to Guardian 96.9 FM. We will be right back after this break.
On the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, a smart talk, all day. You are on the clock with Aaron Green and my guest today, Mr. Carlisle Bethel. I have a brief message for you from the Ministry of Finance about the Family Island Development Act. Under the Family Island Development Act, any resident, prospective resident, or business owner on Andros or in the Southern Islands of the Bahamas, 18 years and older, can apply at mygateway.gov.bs for exemptions on any of the following items: purchased locally or internationally, building materials, plumbing fixtures and materials, electrical fixtures and materials, household furniture, furnishings and appliances, hardware supplies, commercial equipment and related fittings, IT hardware and software, excluding cell phones, tablets, or personal digital assistants. Solar panels and related equipment and fittings are included, business license and real property tax as well. Again, this message about the Family Island Development Act is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Well, I am very glad that this act does not apply to mosquitoes, because the mosquitoes in the Southern Islands have been lobbying the government for recognition for decades now, right? They feel like they are not being included in any policy creation. In fact, they feel like even the government doesn't even acknowledge its obligation to protect the Bahamian mosquito, particularly those living in the Southern Islands.
They're bigger than you and me.
I'm telling you. In fact, some of them need pilot license to move around the place. Well, good morning, Mr. Carlisle Bethel.
Good morning.
Investment advisor and co-host of the podcast Dollars and Cents. Tell us briefly about the podcast and some of the types of issues that you discuss.
So the podcast was formed and created by three young men. It's myself, Jay Johnson, and Quentin Lightbourne.
Okay.
All of us are in some shape or form in finance. Mm-hmm. And we felt as though there was a gap in terms of financial literacy in the country and a lack of easily accessible, readily easily digestible financial literacy information. And so we started this podcast to discuss sometimes complex issues, break them down, to discuss things that are relevant in the financial world, whether it's international, that can apply to us. We talk about entrepreneurship. So we really try to break down and oftentimes complex issues into easy digestible form.
Absolutely. And so, like I said, when I saw the announcement of the new crowdfunding legislation,
right?
The first thing I thought about was GoFundMe.
Right.
Right. And then the second thing I thought about was, will I be able to sell my chickchanis online direct to foreigners, right? Because it's easier to sell them if people can't look me in my face. I mean, it's just a gimmick, you know?
Right. So, so GoFundMe is a form of crowdfunding.
Okay.
It is. And essentially, crowdfunding, and let me take the definition they have here in the legislation. Essentially, what crowdfunding is it says the funding of a project or a venture by raising money from members of the public utilizing a crowdfund digital platform. And a crowdfund digital platform is a mechanism for sale, trade, or exchange of securities offered by a project initiator. And so what that essentially means is, just like how with GoFundMe, you can go on GoFundMe and start a cause, get Aaron's chickchanis to the international market, right? We need to raise $200,000 for this. You can go there, you could donate towards it. But GoFundMe is really started for charitable events or social movements that need funding from its support base.
Yeah.
And in the same way, crowdfunding is the same, except it does it for business ventures, pretty much business ventures. So crowdfunding is the act, is the method of raising funds.
Uh-huh.
But this legislation is about crowdfunding for business ventures, for the most part.
Right. That's what got me. That's
right. Before this, so you had the Jobs Act in 2016 in the United States, which is signed under President Obama.
Okay.
And that really brought crowdfunding to the real mainstream in terms of international markets. Because when America does it, that's like the green light.
Yeah.
So they did it with the Jobs Act in 2016, and you saw an explosion of crowdfunding for all manner of things around the country.
Right. Now, isn't that fascinating? So when Obama won when he became POTUS,
mm-hmm.
he implemented this.
Right.
And he became POTUS by using crowdfunding.
Precisely. He had a massive base, and they crowdfund these political campaigns, right?
Everybody
pitches in $5, $10, and so forth. But what this said, which this does is, it says, okay, say you have a business, you want to sell organic hats, right? Whatever it may be, you have a business plan, you have a solid business plan, outside of crowdfunding, your options for financing that is limited, right? You probably go to the venture fund, you may go to the Bahamas Development Bank, if you know some wealthy friends or family members who could put money into it, and that's about it. That's your options. You recently have the SBDC. But what crowdfunding does is it says, okay, listen, I think if people know about my idea, if they can see it, if I can put it out there, and if I can put the details out there, people will invest. They'll put money into it. And what crowdfunding does is it allows your average everyday investor to put $50, $10, $20 to raise your funds.
Now, look here. This seems like when you said that just now, it hit me that this is a bit of a culture shock. Because I often see and hear Bahamians complaining about Bahamian businesses using social media to promote their products.
Yes.
And one of the complaints is, why, when you advertise the product, do you tell me in the flyer that I must inbox you for pricing details? Why you wouldn't put the price right out front, right? Like, why you wouldn't give me the details right away? And this new crowdfunding culture is the opposite of that, right? It is, look, we showing you everything.
Right. So the Securities Commission drafted the legislation, and they have a phenomenal team up there. They are doing some real groundbreaking work in terms of pushing legislation, whether it's digital assets, the crowdfunding. They are really, really moving in terms of legislation in the region.
Right. Listen, I found an article from August 31st, 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is from the Guardian business editor, Quincy Parker.
Mm-hmm.
It's dated August 31st, 2016, if you want to look it up. And so I went a little bit back looking for information about it. And I'll tell you, I was impressed, mm-hmm. right, with what was laid out,
mm-hmm.
what their vision was
mm-hmm.
for the legislation. And it's taken a little while to get here. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem for me mm-hmm. because we're talking about a whole new concept. Because mm-hmm. that's the next thing. The first thing I thought is, I want to raise money, mm-hmm. little bits of money, because I know mm-hmm. big shot, $5, mm-hmm. $5 here. Mm-hmm. I don't want the government interested in my money. I don't want the government looking at my money, but I understand yeah. where I am.
But
in the Bahamas, this sort of tax jurisdiction, right. the government has to spend a lot of time ensuring that the money coming through this jurisdiction
right.
is kosher.
Right. And two, a part of that is protecting.
One second. Pardon me. Forgive me. I'm not supposed to use that word. Dear Bahamas, let me apologize to the Jewish community. I said that word just now like I forget that that's not just an easy word to say.
Right.
And that some Jewish, and that the community itself may consider that a slur or for okay. somebody to use it in that way to be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. So let me pull that
very, very, very noble of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. So yeah, I was saying a part of the government, a part of the government's job and the Securities Commission by extension is to protect Bahamian people as well. Uh-huh. There is, you want to protect yourself from scams, from looms. You saw Pineapple Express. We had a few a while
yeah,
back.
Yeah, yeah.
You have these looms going around. They say join the loom. You have you see a lot of people pushing Forex. A lot of these things, you know, can take advantage of people who are innocent mm-hmm. and want to invest money or make money on the side. And so a lot of these things can be seen as taking advantage of people. Yeah. So the legislation has to create the market, allow business to be created and to thrive, but also protect the investors. And so a part of this is what they have an offering memorandum. Uh-huh. And what an offering memorandum is a document that outlines all the details of whatever you're trying to raise funds for.
Okay.
What is the product? Who owns it? What is the business plan? How much money do you intend to raise? How many shares do you intend to sell? What is the price? So they ain't got to DM you like you mentioned.
Yeah.
So it lays it all out there and allows Bahamians to invest. But another aspect of it, another protection mechanism that they have is they separate investors between accredited and non-accredited investors.
Okay.
And what that is an accredited investor is someone who has assets of a certain value. So like say $5 million to invest. They're wealthy people.
Right.
Or it's someone who has certain certifications in the field.
Right.
So you may have a bachelor's or a master's or a PhD in finance.
Yeah.
So the Securities Commission feels as though you are either wealthy enough to get the advice or you are smart enough to provide your own advice.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about how you invest.
Okay.
But what about the person who, for example, let's say you hit one number. And you have $100 and you have $1,000 to your name.
And you buck a Aaron Green
trying to sell you magic sea grapes.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Securities Commission says, okay, hold on. Can you prove these sea grapes are magic? What is your plan to grow them, to sell them, take them to market? So the Securities Commission says, okay, this business makes sense or it doesn't make sense. If it yeah. makes sense, you can then sell it to the person who have $1,000.
I get you.
That's a non-accredited investor. And so they have to put in place some protection mechanisms to protect people and to allow it to be an honest industry.
All right. So somebody asked, what's the name of the podcast and where can they listen to it?
Oh, excellent. So the name of the podcast is the Dollars and Cents Podcast. It's yeah. on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It's on SoundCloud. It's on an app called Anchor. So it's on a number of platforms. We just did our last episode, I think about 2 weeks ago. It was talking to Julian Believe about entrepreneurship as Believe Wines and so forth.
Yeah. Look at how I need to talk to you about opening up an investment. I need to create my own Caribbean cloud, Bahamian cloud service called Sky Juice.
Called Sky Juice. There you go.
Yes.
There
okay, go. That's how we're going to do
there
that.
There you go.
All right. Another text. Texas said, Aaron, seems like DeWitt changed your show. These PLPs are not easy. Man, look here. He ain't changed my show. Wasn't that an important thing he came to say? And see, I don't know if you see the link, because when DeWitt said that, right? When DeWitt said, look, somebody reach out to me and say, the staff at PMH are in need of things, right? And here I am talking to an investment advisor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to ask this gentleman, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are options? And is this particular new industry, right? This mm-hmm. new investment space, is this a viable or suitable option for civil society or social justice projects, right? So I want to create a business, but it's in between a business and a nonprofit. It's a for purpose. So I want to create an NGO that has a business or an income generating mechanism attached to it to generate funds to put back into the NGO and the business and to pay the people who work in the business, because they will be members of the affected community the NGO is lobbying for, right? Is there a space in this new investment regime for that type of organizing?
Yes, I would say yes. And really, there's room for it. And so what happens is, Securities Commission, they have a very difficult job.
Yeah,
they have to look at each proposal just like that and classify where does it fall, right? So when we look at the rules, it says application of rules, section three, it says these rules shall not apply to an international business, company, or public issuer. So it's all Bahamian.
Okay.
Must be Bahamian. The rules are not applied to donation-based crowdfunding where members of the public give money in support of a charitable or non-profit project, cause, or organization.
Right.
So your example kind of falls in that scenario, right?
Right.
Now, there are crowdfunding projects that deal with charity-based stuff here. Like Alive has a crowdfunding platform. Together, I think it's Together.Alive or something like that. They crowdfund for charitable purposes. It does not allow for debt-based crowdfunding or peer-to-peer lending where a person borrows money from willing lenders and repays the sum borrowed at an agreed interest rate.
Yeah, so they're not
right. So they're not dealing with debt and debt financing and lending. And it does not deal with rewards-based crowdfunding or prepayment crowdfunding where members of the public give money in return for a reward, service, or product in which there's no distribution of securities. So what this is specifically crowdfunding for speaks to what we have, what someone's asking about on Instagram now, is equity-based crowdfunding.
Okay.
Which is, I have a project, I need to raise $100,000. What I'm going to do is give you ownership in this project for X amount of dollars. So one share for $10. You give me $10, I give you a share, and whatever this project makes, you believe, you've seen all the details of the business, you believe in it, you are now an owner.
Of that business,
yeah. Right? And I think that word owner is a big, big deal here in this country.
Yeah.
We have a concentration of ownership in this country that needs to be diversified. It needs to be broadened. And when you see that, then I think you will see some real economic benefits flowing down and out.
Okay.
Right, yeah. But there's a concentration of ownership that crowdfunding will now allow for more Bahamians to own.
Yeah.
Right?
And a piece of
something.
Yeah.
Right? And there is no promotion, there is no bonus, there is no wage increase that will beat ownership in the long run.
Yeah.
Right? And so what crowdfunding does is it opens up a number of possibilities to allow collaboration. And collaboration is not something that Bahamians aren't used to. You know, look at ASUS. That's collaboration. That's everybody putting their money together.
And cultural, historic.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So it feeds into that same Bahamian spirit of coming together to make something happen. But all it does is it regulates the market. It makes it available. It makes it legitimate. And so, you know, when the argument break out, you ain't got to go to your pastor to figure it out.
Absolutely, yeah, right.
There's rules to outline and to guide it.
And there's a set arbitration.
Precisely.
Awesome. Okay, so a couple more questions. You got a lot of them in. It is for Bahamian investors.
Correct.
And Bahamian businesses.
Correct.
Right. Is there any space for me to hit up potential international investors?
As of right now, this the crowdfunding industry is for Bahamians.
Yeah.
I do think that they are looking at, because at the end of the day, we do want foreign direct investment. We do want US dollars coming in.
Yeah.
But right now it's all BSD. And you have to invest in BSD.
All right. So now let me just give an example, make sure I'm getting it straight. I wanted to start a lemonade business.
Uh-huh.
I'm 12. I wanted to start a lemonade business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go on this platform,
mm-hmm.
This crowdfunding or crowdsourcing platform, mm-hmm. and say, listen, guys, I'm Sally selling lemonade. And if you say if you purchase a gallon of lemonade at $35, I can send you a little lemon that I knitted with yellow yarn, right? That's what we are used to seeing in mm-hmm. the market right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that this will operate in this jurisdiction is, I'm Sally, I have a business
mm-hmm.
that sells lemonade,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going on this platform to look for investors, and I'm willing to give them 1% stake or mm-hmm. 2% stake mm-hmm. in my lemonade business.
Or even 30% or 40%, whatever you need.
No, man, that's madness. That's
no,
madness.
Man, you can give 30%, 40%.
A percentage of my business for this $100,000 cash investment.
Precisely.
Okay.
And then the benefit to the person giving you the money is you tell them, listen, I have a lemonade business.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my business plan. I intend to take over the lemonade business on Market Street, whatever it may be, right? And I project and I expect that we are going to make $100,000 a year in profit, yeah. right? Let's just say random number. I'm giving you 30% of this. So you will get $30,000 in profit as a 30% owner in this business. So you get your 30% down the line. And what it does is it really brings ideas and funding together, and that's how you make things a reality. Is when you bring that innovative idea, when you bring that hustling spirit, and you attach it, and you fuse it, and you mix it with the financing and the funding and the capital, and that's how you create business. That's how you create economies.
Absolutely. Now, Texter just came in.
Mm-hmm.
Texter asked if I could ask you if you'll invest in their business. My Texter is just being ridiculous. Is there a list, or did they give us a sense of what types of businesses that they will certify?
No, it's open. It's open. The only thing they require is that one, before any offering is sent out to the public,
yeah.
it must be approved by the Securities Commission, right? So they must approve it. And it goes from there. Now, in regards to there are a number of people who are getting into the industry of providing the services of crowdfunding,
right?
You see them popping up, and I think what that just shows is that a new industry is being created.
Right. And so in a recent article, I think what I read was that BSIX, that's the Bahamas Stock Exchange, has been authorized to create a platform.
Right.
I'm not sure if they've created one yet.
No, not yet.
And I think Arawak X is the first formal established
mm-hmm.
platform.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were saying is that Alive has a platform, but Alive's platform is a charity.
It's just charity-based, right. So what Arawak X is doing is they are doing your crowdfunding for your small to medium-sized businesses,
uh-huh.
So your startups and so forth. What BSIX is saying when they announced it was they want to go, they're saying that they're in a different market than Arawak X, right? They're going to go for a slightly higher market. So they're going to go for the companies that are a little bit bigger, but are not big enough to get on BSIX. But they still have a proven track record, and they've been operating. They have a certain size. But Arawak X is going for those that are just starting up.
Okay.
You also have, I think, Saul Kirzner, the Kirzner Group, LinkedIn Landis. They were looking at a crowdfunding platform as well.
Wow.
So yeah. So I mean, there's a lot of opportunity in there.
And I hope that their platform is sort of tourism, business, product, mm-hmm. service.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do all of that. You could have a platform specializing in a particular industry. You could have it just open for any business.
Because, you know, when I mentioned the orange economy earlier in the show,
mm-hmm.
what I was thinking about, in case you guys don't know, the Tourism Development Corporation is having a meeting this Thursday, the 29th at 6 p.m., right, to a meeting to talk about, and it's an opportunity to register for the Bahamas Association of Shore Experiences, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the tourism space, you should check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking specifically of people in the orange economy,
mm-hmm.
right? And what type of mm-hmm. infrastructure mm-hmm. do the creatives need to put mm-hmm. together
mm-hmm.
to take advantage of
mm-hmm.
the tourism
mm-hmm.
and the orange economy.
So let me give you an example of how the orange economy can use the crowdfunding.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a show in mind. You have a play in your mind that you want to bring to production. The cost to bring that to production, I don't know how much it is. Let's say $50,000. Yeah. Let's say $10,000, keep it simple, right? It's $10,000 to bring it to production. You don't have $10,000, but you have the idea. You have the show. You believe it can work. Your community of creatives also believes it can work.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you raise the funding for that? Right today, I don't know how you would go about raising the funding for that, but what you could do is say, listen, this show is now going to be the intellectual property of this company, right? Aaron Green and Co. And it's going to be owned, and the show is going to be owned by that company. So now you can sell shares in Aaron Green and Co., which is ownership of the show, to the creators who believe in it. And then once the show is brought to production, the funds that are made from the show goes to pay the people who invested it.
All right.
And that way you bring funding into the creative community.
All right. I know we are almost at that line. Just a couple of quick questions. That one just slipped off my head. What are the top investments? Copyright and patenting. So we recommend that before you submit your information that you ensure that your idea is copyrighted, right, or patented, and that you have the proper protections to protect your intellectual property.
So I've never done a crowdfunding with any of the platforms or anything, like AwakX or the BizX and so forth. But I presume that a part of their process of taking it to public is ensuring that it's protected in by law.
Because that's what I imagine this is. This whole regime is to support these businesses and these people to assist.
Right.
That's awesome. So just as we're going, give me the top two investment choices for young Bahamians and the top two ideas that are attractive to investors at this time.
That is a difficult choice because each investment and each investor is different.
Yeah.
Right? You may be saving for school, I may be saving for a car, right? It all depends. You may be saving for children. It all depends on what your investment goals are, right? So I would say, look at where you are. Look at your financial breakdown as much as you could. Break down how much you make, how much you spend. Look at where you want, what you want to have and where you want to be 2-3 years down the road and start to put stuff aside. I would also say to be careful of deals and people who are presenting things that seem too good to be true.
Pie in the sky.
Like you see a lot of scamming going around. There's a lot of things that are meant to prey on the innocent. And I would say always get advice. Find someone with a sound mind financially, legally. Always run things by them and get advice and ask questions.
Yeah.
And be careful.
You could believe me, but don't believe me when I say I'm going to secure a mortgage with 10,000 sea grape.
Yeah.
Now, 10,000 sea grape trees, maybe.
Maybe.
Right?
That's plenty land. Yeah.
10,000 sea grapes.
Right.
I'd like to thank you, Mr. Bethel, for shedding some light on this new legislation, because this is a time when people are ripe with ideas. It's the summer season, right?
Yes.
The fruits are popping off the tree. People are ripe with ideas. They're hungry with both passion and urgency, urgency of the moment to get something going. And so I want to invite you and the members of the podcast back on to help me understand this money thing a bit better, because me and the bank ain't getting on with this whole C-grade conversation. They don't believe me.
I'll say this too, just in closing. I want to thank you for the opportunity for being here. And I do want to say to the Bahamian people that, you know, the economy is not in a good place right now. These are difficult times. But history has shown us that we are a resilient people, and we are resilient, and we will bounce back, and the economy will bounce back stronger than it is now. And I just say, just be prepared. Use this time now to plan, to build. Take care of your family. Take care of your neighbor. Be a brother and sister's keeper, and we'll be just all right.
And trust, your ancestors done been through this before, maybe once, maybe twice. If they made it through, you could make it through,
amen
too.
Amen to that.
Anyway, have a great day, Bahamas. It's 11 o'clock, and that means Levon Miller and Unleash is up next.